You are listening to KFAI 90.3 FM and streaming live on the web at KFAI.org. I'm your host, Emma Collins, and this is Ride On Radio. Today, we have a live radio show with two live human guests. Our guests today are Gail Rosenbloom and Kate Zimmer-Davis, and their upcoming book, Sea Salt Eatery. The upcoming book, Sea Salt Eatery, Recipes to Enjoy Year-Round. So we're going to do that for the first half hour. And then the second half hour will be a pre-recorded interview with Luke Barr and his recently released book, The Secret History of French Cooking. I chatted with Luke and about the secret of the history of nouveau cuisine in France in the 1960s and 70s, and the untold story of women who pioneered the movement. Thank you so much for tuning in and enjoy the show. And thank you so much, Gail and Kate, for being on the air tonight.
Hey, we are so glad to be here. Thanks for having us.
All right. Just to kind of get us started, can you give a slight overview of Sea Salt Eatery for the folks in the Twin Cities who miraculously have never heard of sea salt?
Could it be possible that they haven't? No, yeah. I imagine. So the Sea Salt Eatery cookbook is to honor 20 years of Sea Salt Eatery. It opened up in 2005, so it just had its 20th anniversary, which is kind of remarkable. And so I'm Gail, and mm-hmm. I had the honor of writing the sort of the narrative, the story of the history. And then Kate had the huge job of figuring out which recipes to share in the book that home cooks could try at home.
And Kate, do you have any more information about your position at Sea Salt?
I'm currently one of three co-owners. This is the start of the fourth year of that position, but it's my, I think, 16th season there. Before coming on as one of the owners, I was, I think the best way to put it is probably kitchen manager, one of the managers. I've been there for pretty much my whole adult life. I like to think that I kind of grew up there.
I think we could start off this fun conversation with, what is your relationship to Sea Salt Eatery or just cooking in general? Did you grow up with like a lot of cooking at the home, or like what's your personal relationship to food?
Not a ton of cooking at home. I really got into it when I started at Sea Salt. I had worked more, kind of hopped around restaurants and done more kind of front of house positions. And then I started at Sea Salt, and one of the things that I'm super grateful for and also grateful that we've maintained is that we'll train anyone if they're interested in learning a new position. And that was the case way back when as well. So I think pretty much everything that I have learned about cooking at least started there.
And what about you?
Okay, well, yeah. My story is a little different. I come from a journalism background. 40 years as a journalist. The last half of my career was at the Star Tribune. Mm-hmm. And so I love a good story. Mm-hmm. And Kate, I should clarify, is my wonderful daughter-in-law, aside from being an exceptional businesswoman and et cetera. But I knew that the 20th anniversary was coming up, and I knew that this was such an unusual success story, mm-hmm. that Sea Salt should really never have made it 20 years. It's seasonal, meaning it's only open 6 months of the year. It serves seafood, mm-hmm. in a landlocked Minnesota. So it was an unlikely success, and I was just very eager to tell the story. So I really, fortunately for all of the people who buy the cookbook, I stayed out of the kitchen.
Yeah.
and I interviewed fascinating people. So I interviewed people who were there at the beginning. Mm-hmm. I interviewed historians. I interviewed some of their biggest fans, the people who were there on the first day that it opens. And so for me, it was just a joy to be able to tell the story and then let Kate and these accomplished chefs figure out the food piece of it.
What was the what I noticed going through the book is like how I love like just the detailed history that you go through to tell the story of Sea Salt, the interviews, the characters.
And a lot of characters, Kate.
I think the restaurant industry is known to attract. Yeah.
A lot of characters.
A lot of characters. What was like your favorite discovery for sea salt? Like, it's been around for 20-ish years, but is this the first cookbook that's been around for sea salt? Or
Definitely the first one for sea salt. Yeah. And we did ask everybody on the team, you know, are you okay if we do this? Because, you know, it takes it to a different level. So now people will have in their home some of these recipes. We want to make sure that there's still that magic that when you go to the beautiful Minnehaha Falls and you experience sea salt there, that you still have that magical experience.
Yeah.
I think we just had a wonderful time telling this story, and I hope that it just makes this great story just kind of more magical when people really understand how hard they work behind the scenes to make this a wonderful experience for the people who stand in that very long line. Mm-hmm. That very long line.
I'm always kind of curious, like, do you ever think that sea salt can be divorced from Minnehaha Falls? Because I was going through this and I'm like, oh, like the whole Parks and Rec board. And I also think of like Awamnee and like that kind of like opening a restaurant with like the Parks and Rec board. Do you think sea salt can exist without Minnehaha Falls, or is it like a kind of symbiotic relationship between the two?
Yeah, I don't think that, certainly not now. Like, I don't think that sea salt could. And I think that it's not lost on anyone who's there now, or John himself starting it, that like how much of a role that played. I mean, you have like miles and miles of bike paths that lead there. Mm-hmm. We get a lot of like airport layover traffics. You know, so there's I would say a symbiotic relationship is a really good way to put it.
I would also kind of want to follow that up with, like, kind of, like, we could kind of start getting into the like, to me, what I always find interesting about restaurant work now, especially with, like, popular shows, The Bear, which I think is starting to, like, highlight behind-the-scenes work or things like that. What do you think is, like, the most challenging thing for, like, a sea salt, like, fishery restaurant in Minnesota? We have, like, a big walleye fishing culture, but what is like kind of specific about seafood that's a little bit more difficult that you think that might not exist in other restaurants?
Yeah, I think just getting people to trust us and also to like trust themselves that they can just try something new, and if they don't like it, that's going to be okay. But I think that they can trust that we know what we're doing. And I think that's one of the coolest things in the book to me is how much when Gail interviewed Suzanne Weinstein, like she put in from Coastal Seafoods, like she put in she front loaded so much of that trust herself that like when John started Sea Salt and had that, you know, her blessing and that relationship that he had with her, that I think that that name definitely helped out in those early years where it was like, oh, you're getting your fish from Coastal. You have a relationship with Coastal, you know, so we like
Gold
that
standard.
Is another one of those ones that I think in the early years like was such a symbiotic relationship as well.
Oh, yeah.
I was just going to add to that, because coming from out as an outsider to doing this story, what was remarkable to me was to think about the volume, the volume of fish that moves through that place every day. And fish is not forgiving.
Yeah.
You can't just keep it for weeks, you know? And so one day Kate took me into the freezer or
the rock cooler?
The rock cooler. And what was fascinating to me about it was she and John were looking, they were assessing the different kinds of seafood that you had in there. Do you remember that day?
Mm-hmm.
And sort of saying, this will last one more day. This is enough for this. I mean, just looking at it over 20 years of knowing how to do it, understanding this is going to go. We got to move this. You know, we order that more of this. They have it in such a well-oiled machine to make sure that people, if they order it off the menu, they get it and it's fresh. But I think people could take that for granted and not understand sort of the mathematical brilliance of what they do every single day.
What I always kind of find interesting, as like somebody who did, I worked in the restaurant industry, but what I love about this book specifically is it talks about like the back of house and the front of house workers with such like humanity and just saying like, hey, this builds character development for teenage workers working summer jobs. Because it is, anybody who's ever worked in the industry, in the restaurant industry, kind of knows like the very quick timing, quick on your feet skills that really do serve you
later in life, and I do like how that was humanly portrayed. And like
Thank
all
you.
Just all the other antics too, like, oh, it's like, okay, yeah, we're gonna get beers after, we're gonna have a lot of fun.
A lot of antics behind the scenes.
Yeah.
What was your favorite antics, like, kind of like going through, like, for Seesaw, like, what was like some of your favorite, like, kind of behind the scenes work antics, or like,
I just think I just know how hard they work. Yeah. My bonus daughter Kate, also named Kate, works at Sea Salt in the summer, and I watch her leave our house at 8 in the morning, 8:30, come home at 10:30 at night. She's worked what's I think you guys call it a double-double or a double shift or
and
whatever.
She's scheduled at 10. She's showing up early.
She's showing up early.
She cares.
She loves it. She works so hard, and she's not unusual. I think what I found fascinating was these young people. I watched today we were over there, and I watched the young people. They're marching in, you know, in their Sea Salt t-shirts to work, and they're smiling. They're eager to be there. They want to be there. There's a great work ethic there, a great respect. So I do, I think that is unusual maybe in the world of food, because we all sort of were forced into, you know, I worked at Dairy Queen for 3 days, I think, before I got fired when I was 16. You know, that was my experience with food. But I think it's very different with Sea Salt and the way they sort of see it as something possibly a launching pad to something else, and if not, certainly a place to make friends for life.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And it's also one of the, like, most fun and just, like, beautiful things to watch is, like, a friend group moving through. We have these little cohorts where, like, their siblings will come in. And so there's also that, like, you'll start seeing, like, a little bit of, you'll give a kid a compliment and be like, man, you're crushing it. I can't believe how much you've learned this last, you know, couple of weeks or whatever. And then you just see, like, one of their friends hearing that, and they're like, oh, I can, like,
I'm gonna
beat them. You know what I mean? Like, there's, like, enough of the competition that's just between them without us even having to, like, try and get anything going. They're competitive with each other and, like, how hard they can work. And it's so cool because of that, you just get to watch them learn so much and come out of their shell and get to know all of the wild individuals who are there.
I kind of want to get to, like, let's talk about the food. It's a cookbook, so we're going to talk about food specifically in a cookbook. It's kind of a novel idea.
let's do that.
Yeah.
Let's do that.
So I'm curious, just like softball, like, what's your favorite food from Sea Salt Eatery? Like, your favorite go-to menu item there?
So mine's the sexy ahi tuna
burger.
It has a lot of words, but when I go, she knows what to make for me when I stand in line. That's my favorite. But I love, we order everything off the menu. Honestly, it's all so good. But Kate, what do you order?
I mean if I'm being totally honest, I don't, once a year I try to eat, like, one thing that is on, like, on the menu as it is, right? Because I've been looking at it all for 16 years at this point. So, like, and it's, you know, kitchen life, like, you're snacking throughout the day, eating standing up. My go-to that I do eat at least once every year are the Bay Scallop tacos. I love them. They're so good.
I think my go-to is the po' boy. Mm-hmm. And the reason for that is I was working as a light board operator at Theater in the Round, which is actually across the street. And the lighting designer, she came from New Orleans, and I'm like, oh, do you have any seafood restaurant recommendations? And she mentioned Sea Salt, and I'm like, that was my first introduction. She's like, and I asked, I was like, what should I get there? She's like, the po' boy. Get the po' boy there. It's my favorite. It reminds me of New Orleans. And I'm like, okay.
Oh, that's a great compliment.
Yes, that's awesome.
Wow,
that's
hearing
big,
that.
Yeah.
That's a
big compliment.
Really,
that is a big
compliment.
Yeah. And I'm like, all right, that's one of my go-to items. I do want to try the oil pan, like, oysters, because I finally tried a raw oyster for the first time. I forget where I was, but I didn't order it, but my friend did. And, like, out of peer pressure, I'm like, all right, I'm going to try the oyster.
What'd you think?
I liked it. It's definitely a texture thing. And I put, I think, a heavy amount of Tabasco to kind of help me.
Yeah.
Because it's just one of those things where it's like, oh, I have to definitely get out of my comfort zone with seafood. The one thing I do want to try in this recipe book coming up in July, because watermelons are more seasonal, is the watermelon gazpacho. Oh. I saw that and I'm like, I have to try that. That sounds so good.
It's so good. That's also one of my, like, I'm not, like, I don't make it the full way that we serve it, but, like, a 4-ounce cup of of gazpacho on a hot day in the middle of the day is an absolute lifesaver sometimes.
I'm always just kind of interested with, and it's like, to me, it's like, oh, that's like the non-seafood. And it seems like that's the easy kind of, like, for somebody who doesn't cook a lot of fish in their house or their apartment and doesn't want to stink up their apartment and then have their roommates get mad at me. That's always my big anxiety, is just stinking up the apartment with my food concoction. So I was like, okay, that one's a safe bet. But I'm always kind of curious, between like the sea salt as like it opened up 20 years ago to present day, what are like some of the big recipe changes that you've noticed, either due to like the economics of having a restaurant or just like in terms of taste for Minnesota, as like become like a little bit more of a diverse state, hopefully more a diverse food palette as well? Like, what are some of the biggest changes from then to now?
You know, our like core menu, the one that is painted up on the board, has largely stayed the same. We've added a few things where it's like, we'll make a special and then we kind of find, oh, this has been on the specials board for a really long time. We'll add it to the main menu. But I think that actually our specials board has been what has changed the most. And it's really fun. It kind of ebbs and flows, where like right now, Gail was talking about Kate. Mm-hmm. And so we have these young kind of up and coming chefs who are coming in with these like brand new ideas, and they're so excited about it. And you can't help but be excited to let them try it. Yeah. And then like, of course, the rest of us are like, ooh, what if you did this? And you try to stay out of the way. Yeah. Right. But it's really fun because it, like you said, like we have obviously Minnesota, the like diversity has changed over the years. But the way I think that we hire neighborhood kids and local kids, like we've also seen that reflected in our staff. And so the idea that we give them, not even give them, but just that we want them to tell us their ideas and be excited about it, it gets reflected season to season by what they're excited about eating.
But you know what I would also say has been the biggest change probably is in the beer and the NA. I mean, I know it's not food, yeah, but I've watched, you know, over the years, you've progressed into this, magical big selection of beers, wine, NA, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, a lot. That has been a big change there too as well, to go with, you're sitting outside on a hot day eating your
yeah,
meal.
Yeah, absolutely. And even the NA world, I think a few years ago, like back in the day, we would have like a 6-pack of bottles of Buckler around just in case somebody ordered an NA beer, and then it was soda, right?
Yeah.
And then as some of the like Bauhaus came out with Nah, and that was a huge one, and then it just, from there, I think it has just sort of exploded, where all of these local places are also recognizing that people's tastes and lifestyles are changing in the alcohol, their relationship with alcohol, and they're responding to it. And so it's been really cool to like dive into that world, and also just the feedback from customers of like, oh my gosh, thank you so much for having offerings that aren't, you know, either alcoholic or, like I said, a root beer.
Yeah. Like, my dad doesn't drink, and I think he always appreciates it. I do feel bad for Bauhaus now.
Like,
I love the Nah beer. That's, like, one of my favorites at First Ave or something. Because it's just, like, I just want it, but I also just don't want to get buzzed or anything. But that's kind of a follow-up to just, like, the economics. Now, in, like, post-COVID, I'm always kind of curious, like, how do you maintain a restaurant post-COVID times, either during, like, spending increases, transportation increases. What do you look forward to in sea salt and like kind of moving forward through this summer, quite frankly?
Yeah, I mean, coming out of COVID, it was like, I was like the, so yeah, 2021, that season, I was like, oh, the word of the, or the term of the season this year is just supply chain, mm-hmm, right? Because we couldn't get crab meat because it was either unavailable, and then when it would be available, it was so expensive that we were like, we can't afford to have this, and we certainly aren't going to pass it on to customers. So we the shrimp burger, which is in the cookbook, mm-hmm. is a direct descendant from that. And then even this year, we've used the same kind of fish for our fried fish for these whole 20 years, and we're running out and figured out a different, we had to work with a bunch of different suppliers and like figure out a different kind of fish. And that's like, it's so huge because it's our number one selling thing. We use it in a lot of different forms, you know? And so, but it's like, that kind of is what it is, right? Like you're going to have that. And it's not like, I don't say it lightly as though it's not a big deal, but like that I think is on the business side of things, like that I think is a lot of the magic that John brought to the place, which is just like this like dogged energy to just figure it out. Like we're going to figure this out. And we've, with some luck and then like a lot of determination through everybody on board, managed to, you know, keep the wheels rolling, I guess.
Running a restaurant is incredibly difficult from my very just thin margins, and kind of amazed how sea salt has just been around, especially for the fact that it is a seasonal place. I'm trying to think of like other seasonal, like outside of like Dairy Queen. I don't know if like for a full fledged kind of restaurant, do you think sea salt is like definitely like a Minneapolis success story as well? And like that should just be in like kind of the caveat of like, here's all the other successful restaurateurs, restaurant places that have existed, or...
I mean, I think around the lakes, you do have, you know, you do have restaurants that are seasonal. I think because it's in that gorgeous regional park, it's got the, you know, it's got the gorgeous falls. It is the proximity to the airport. Yeah. I just think there, it's just a, everything worked to get it into place to be this exception, I think. There are other certainly successful restaurants that are open probably, you know, just 6 months as well. But I think this one is just the one that you really look to it to be the leader in sort of how to do this.
I'm also kind of, when you mentioned the airport, I didn't realize like this would be like a layover spot for airport folks. How do you think that is? Like, do you think the airport people are like, they just Google, like, okay, I have a 4-hour layover.
Yeah. Jump in an Uber.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it happens.
One of the like most wild things that I've come across was, this was probably, I don't know, 8 years ago or something now, but I was on a flight and opened like the in-flight, you know, things to do in Minneapolis. And then like there was sea salt. And I was like, oh,
that's
wow,
awesome.
I had no idea.
That's
it wasn't
awesome.
Like an interview. It was just like a little shout out. Like we were on a list and I was like, oh, dang, that's why so many people ask us if we can store their suitcases for them, which we cannot. Sorry. But and I think just because it's seasonal and it like we get a fair amount of those lists, right? That we make. And so that's my guess. I don't know.
I'm very curious now. There should be like a, like have like a little bulletin board. It's like, where did you come from? Like
love that idea.
That's a great idea.
I think we should absolutely do that. I do think there's something very powerful about knowing that your time is limited. I think when you have a place that's open all year long, you're going to get there when you get there. But I think with sea salt, when I was doing the interviews, people have an urgency to get there. I mean, people were telling me, I know the day it opens, I will be the first in line. People said that, you know, and I do think there's something psychological about knowing you're not going to have all year to do this. You got to do it in these few short, beautiful summer months in the Twin Cities.
Do you see like an influx of people? It's like, okay, we're going to be, our end date for the season is going to be this
day.
Do you get like an influx of folks?
Definitely. I think. Or just like, people being like, oh, we got to get one last lunch in.
Right.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. We got time for one more question, and I just kind of want to ask, like, what are you looking forward to Sea Salt this summer? Fun plans, fun events? What are you thinking of, other than your cookbook being published?
That's the one. Yeah. That's a big one for me.
Well, I'm the event that I'm the most excited for probably is going to be Oyster Fest, which will be on June 20th. We have some Fulton and Bell's and Lagunitas beer trailer, and then we shuck a bunch of oysters outside and grill them up, serve them raw, play a bunch of music. It's a super fun day, and this will be the second year of that event. So I'm really excited to see where that ends up taking us this year. And then just like, it's already been such a fun season, and we have such a cool staff, and getting to see them come back from a year at college, and like kids who I heard say like four words are now like speaking full sentences to me. And it's just like, oh, this is so great. I'm always excited for the season, but I'm really excited for this one. It feels really special.
All right. Thank you so much, Gail and Kate, for being on the air tonight.
Thank you.
Your cookbook, Sea Salt Eatery, Recipes to Enjoy Year Round, will be released, I believe it was July 14th, correct? That's the updated publication date through the University of Minnesota Press. And you can also join for an Oyster Fest June 20th.
Absolutely.
And I'm definitely going to be there because I need to expand my oyster palate.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. And now stay tuned for Luke Barr and his book, The Secrets of French Cooking. And then I gotta play a couple.
Support for KFAI comes from the Blue Ox Music Festival, a weekend of Americana artists including Charlie Crockett and Sierra Hull, June 25th to the 27th in Eau Claire. Full lineup at blueoxmusicfestival.com.